This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move along in the Psalter, picking up with Psalms 101 to 103. I will walk with integrity, like an evening shadow, that a people to be created may praise the Lord, to set free those doomed to die, and bless the Lord, O my soul. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But of you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness, and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord be with you.
And also
let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 9. There will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he has made more glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, for as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics. And he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. And thus was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Friends, as we continue to hear throughout this season of Epiphany, all of Scripture is completed in Christ. For Christ completes the whole life of God's people. Jesus goes to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, a land and people characterized from the days of Isaiah by gloom, anguish, contempt, by walking in darkness and dwelling in deep darkness and death. That was the condition of the Israelites when Isaiah the prophet spoke to them what we just heard in this morning's Old Testament reading. God's people had been attacked by the Assyrians. Their freedom had become slavery and oppression. The promised land was invaded by dark forces, and its blessings of milk and honey became sand and bitterness. God's chosen and elect were carried off to suffer and grope around in dark and foreign lands. And it was Israel's idolatry that thrust them into that thick darkness. It was their rebellion that earned for them the gloom of anguish. The Lord Almighty permitted, he even directed, that the Assyrian army wipe out the northern kingdom, bringing his chosen people into contempt. Because throughout the history of God's people, in testaments both old and new, we see how the Lord works. The people for whom he had done so much, they turn away from God. And so their Lord, in order to show them their sin, to bring them to repentance, he allows his beloved to suffer from the consequences of their actions. He permits Israel to experience the anguish and gloom that their false gods provide. Still, throughout the history of God's people, in testaments both old and new, we see how the Lord works, how he works all of these things for the good of those who love him. Even in the midst of that darkness, the darkness of Israel's death and destruction, God sends Isaiah to speak a word of hope, a word that is fulfilled by Christ. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish, the Lord promises. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. Those dwelling in the regions in shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. And that light, the light of the world, the light the darkness cannot overcome, is Jesus, who from that time began to preach. And he preached publicly saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The Epiphany promise to God's suffering people that a light would shine in their darkness, it's fulfilled in the gospel reading we heard. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is, and he brings, and he preaches that light by saying, "Repent," because this is how God works. It's a twofold work. Repentance, therefore, has two parts. First, the Lord crushes us, as we're all continuing and will always learn. He defeats us, he kills us by the word of his law. "You are a sinner," God says. To deny that is to deceive only yourself. Because to reject the reality of our sinful condition, our need of a Savior, is to make Jesus less than what he is. Because you see, if I am really a good person deep down, if I only make the occasional mistake once in a while, then all I need Jesus to be for me is a life coach and cheerleader. If, however, I am truly a slave to sin, if I am dead in my trespasses, a child of wrath like the rest of mankind, well, then I need Jesus to be everything for me. So the law that we need to hear, the law that lets Jesus be who Jesus is this: we deserve to be conquered forever by the Assyrian army of eternal death. Our gloom, our anguish, we have brought upon ourselves. And we try to blame everyone and everything else. We try to blame even God, like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. "It's not me, Lord. It's this woman that you brought to me." It's not me, Lord, this serpent that you created. Not me, Lord, finally, but you. It's a game of blame and shame that the devil is happy to have us play. So we can be very much like condemned criminals, as the Reverend and Sainted Kurt Marquardt once observed, waiting in a dark dungeon for our execution. But instead of thinking about what got us there, instead of thinking about what will happen to us when we die, we amuse ourselves by throwing dice. We distract ourselves by fighting over the biggest piece of moldy bread and the largest cup of contaminated water. Jesus loves you too much to leave you in that dark dungeon. And so into your darkness, he shines his light. Into your dungeon, he shines himself. Into your death, he comes and says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In his preaching repentance, God repents us. He shows us our sin. He makes us to despair of ourselves, our attempts at excuse and self-justification. It's what we call contrition. And it's the first part of repentance, that God works for us and in us through the preaching of his law. And as soon as the Lord has accomplished this, as soon as he's brought us to ask, "How then shall I be saved?" then the law's condemning voice is silenced, and we get to hear another voice. Then Jesus begins to preach the second part of repentance, which is faith, which is Jesus. So does Jesus Christ, Epiphany himself, into the darkest of our days. He restores us, he wins us, he even gives us life by the word of his gospel. You are forgiven. You are a conqueror over the devil's army of death. Your joy, your gladness, Jesus brings to you with the gifts of his cross. For you who once dwelt in the region and shadow of death, on you now the light of the world has dawned. On you who once dwelt in a land of deep darkness, Jesus shines. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand for you, and the kingdom is Jesus. So, for now, for this morning, when you hear Jesus calling Simon, Andrew, James, and John to be fishers of men, simply rejoice that right now you get to be the fish for whom Jesus sends out these fishers of men to fish, the fish who are caught in Jesus' blessed net of baptism, the fish gathered by his word and fed by his flesh. You, O dear saints of God, you get to be the fish. You are baptized with the baptism that Jesus put into the hands of his apostles, with the promise that he would be with them in that baptizing. You're taught with Jesus' teaching that he put into the hands of his apostles, commanding them to teach it all. You are the fish caught in Jesus' baptismal net. And as you well know, to be a fish caught in a net is to be as good as dead. That means in baptismal terms that we're buried with Christ by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also get to walk in the newness of life. One who has died has been set free from sin once for all, but the life that Christ lives, he lives to God. And so you also get to consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Or in the words of Isaiah, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." Or again, in the words of Christ himself, "Repent, follow me. The kingdom of Christ is here for you." In the name of Jesus, amen.
Confident of our Lord's promise that he hears our prayers, let us lift up our voices to the God of all grace, imploring him for the sake of his beloved Son, our intercessor and great high priest. Almighty Father, we thank you that in Christ you have revealed the mystery of your gracious will, and that through his cross and passion you have delivered us from evil and given us the hope of everlasting life. Prosper your word as it is carried into all the world, so that people everywhere might know the glory of the kingdom that has come near in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, bless our nation and guide those who govern, that they may lead in wisdom and understanding. Cause our enemies to turn from their wicked hostility, that peace may be restored. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, help us to use wisely all that you have given us in this life. Be our stay in every need, and grant us contentment in all things. Heal the sick, giving them patience and hope as they wait on you. Comfort those who mourn, raise up the downcast, give hope to the lonely and the forgotten, and grant peace to those with a troubled spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Help us, O Lord, always to remember that all good things come from you. Keep us from turning the many material blessings that you give us into curses by relying on them instead of on you. Grant that we would not trust in the abundant riches you have given us, but use them to bring glory to you and for the good of others. Lord, in your mercy.
Dear Father, as we have received Christ Jesus our Lord, so let us walk in him, rooted and grounded in the faith, and abounding in every good work. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven, by which the prayers of sinners are acceptable in your sight, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Blessed, because he is now risen from the dead, he lives and reigns to all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As the glory of your presence once filled your ancient temple, so in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in his most holy supper, you reveal your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.